evening again, everybody. I'd like to call the regular board meeting of the Bartlett Public Library District to order. It's 7 p.m. Roll call.
Boyer?
Here.
Sias?
Here.
Barry?
Here.
Vaccaro here. Olson?
Here.
Taney?
Here.
Hopkins?
Here. Pledge of Allegiance.
And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Is there any town hall? The consent agenda, are there any items that anyone wishes to remove? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Make a motion.
Thank you, Trustee Vaccaro, Trustee Taney. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Boyer?
Yes.
Sias?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Vaccaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Taney?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes. Okay, reports, questions, and comments. Presidents and trustees, does anybody have anything they'd like to? Trustee Olson?
I have a couple of quick things. First of all, just to let the board know, the result of the transfer that we made, we now will have at least $2,950,000 in our investment account because we received $787,000 on the 10th of September from DuPage County. I don't know that we've received any funds yet from the Cook County second installment. Second thing I wanted to quickly mention is I happened to be in the library on Saturday morning at the time that they were doing the therapy horse program. I sat back in the library and kind of watched what was going on and the interaction with the members of the public that were there. I'm guessing there were about 30 children and their caregivers. That seemed to be very well received. I also have a couple of questions that I thought we would have information in the board packet, but didn't see. The only comment that I saw in the board packet was in plan operations report that the meeting with Evans and Sons, our contractor for paving, was to be held, I believe, tomorrow. But I didn't see anything in terms of whether there were additional specifications drawn up as we talked about for the sidewalk in the courtyard and exiting there, and also for the fenced-in area here. So
we met with them this morning, and we talked with Lewis and Mario from Evans and Sons and did a walk around, and Elizabeth was working on the quote and the specifications to forward to them.
Thank you. The other thing that I was expecting to see in the board packet, either as a document or a discussion item, was I think we were led to believe that starting in September that we were going to see metrics being presented at board meetings, and that doesn't seem to have happened.
Thank you.
Go ahead. And comments if possible.
Yeah.
I really appreciate in Adult and Tech Services the partnering with the DuPage County Health Department regarding COVID vaccinations, so thank you. And I also was going to go with the whole miniature horse thing. I mean, how adorable was that? Useful. I also really appreciated that Tammytown, I thought that was very useful for youth today to interact with police and what you should be doing out in the community, so, yeah.
Anybody else? Is there any correspondence?
We did have a thank you note from Karen Kelly that was in your packet.
You just passed it. And correction, it's Helen Kelly.
Oh, Helen Kelly.
Yeah.
Not Karen Kelly, okay. We used to. I'm writing a thank you for two outstanding employees, Dave at the front checkout and manager Mary for clearing a unresolved item on my library account. Dave helped me twice explain what was happening and Mary showed him the procedure to clear it. Thank you for such patient and efficient employees who take time and show kindness to library patrons such as me. So thank you to Mary and Dave.
Okay, first item is the resolution to determine funds for the 2021-2022 fiscal year.
This resolution serves as notice that the library board has determined the levy amount and the date of the hearing. This is part of the process to determine if the library needs to hold the truth of taxation public hearing. Since we are only asking for 4.9% more than the taxes we received last year, we do not need to hold a truth in taxation hearing. The board will need to approve the resolution at Monday's meeting.
Trustee Beery.
I'll make a motion to approve the resolution to determine funds for the 2021-2022 fiscal year.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Trustee Olson, thank you. Is there any discussion? Okay. Hearing none, roll call.
Boyer?
Yes.
Sias?
Yes.
Beery?
Yes.
Vaccaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Daney?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes. Okay. Snowplow service quotes.
I will turn this over to Nate. We had three quotes that we received. So why don't you go ahead and explain
that? Sure. And Trustee Olson actually printed out a really helpful kind of breaking everything down. So the past year we used Tovar and we've had a monthly contract with them. And the cost for that was $18,000 for 52 inches. And then we got quotes from Abbott, which is our current landscaping contractor. They provided us, we asked for quotes for both per occurrence and monthly, just they come and do it up to a certain limit. And they came in at $5,000 at 42 inches, I believe, and Weiss came in at $8,500. For well, they were comparable, weren't they, at 50 inches. Honestly, I think either of those two would serve us well. It really is kind of a gamble, honestly, because there's no way to know how much snow we're gonna get this year. And if we go over the cap with Abbott at 5,000, there's a possibility that we might not go over it at all. And we might start closing into what we would have paid with Weiss. And then we also run into the amount of saltings that we get. So while Abbott is cheaper and has a lower cap, they also cover more saltings. And each salting runs several hundred dollars per time they do it, because if they know it's gonna snow, they come beforehand and salt. So that kind of goes off of their tick mark of the 28 that we get. And so it's possible that it never snows and then they end up salting more than we need. So really this will be my second winter here at the library. And I haven't had much experience besides our previous contractor, which we did have some issues with last year, with just either timeliness or having to deal with the conditions of the lot, as well as it appeared that they were subcontracting their work to other vendors and not getting a level of service that we expect for the amount of money that we're paying. So really, I mean, it's a toss up, honestly, between Weiss and Abbott.
But Nate, can I interrupt?
Yes.
Can I say that we're familiar with Abbott and we've been pleased with the landscaping services, so that would be a bonus in their end, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes, we've had a good relationship with them. They've been very responsive to any of our issues with the landscaping, and I would hope that that would continue with them as well. And I know Weiss is a reputable company that's been around for a long time, and they do all their own work as well. So I think it really, yeah, but this one is left to the board.
Trustee Beery.
Yes, first of all, Nate, I want to thank you for your report and also including the snowfall totals for the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. Because it helped me come up with a favorite. And at this time, I'd like to make a motion to approve the contract with Abbott for the reason because they come in the lowest. Out of the last 7 years, out of the last 7 of 10 years, their cap would have worked. We wouldn't have gone into an occurrence. And I understand it's always a crapshoot. We don't know until it happens. But it's significantly lower than our current vendor. And I'm comfortable with going with Abbott.
And one thing I didn't neglect to mention is these quotes are based on the current map of the facility. And so it may change slightly when we specify the new additions of the sidewalks and making sure that that courtyard area, those egress points are covered under that as well. So I don't think that that would substantially adjust the cost, but it's mm-hmm. possible that it would.
Is there a second to Trustee Beery's motion?
I'll second.
Trustee Sias, thank you. Discussion?
Yes.
Trustee Olson.
I did a quick analysis on this, and I tried to equate the three at 52 inches of snowfall, just because that was what Tovar put in. What I found was two things that stuck out to me. Abbott's contract starts November 1st, Weiss not until December 1st, and Tovar mid-November.
Sorry, sir, can you speak up a little bit? It's hard to hear over. Can you speak up a little bit? It's hard to hear over here.
Sorry. what I was saying is Abbott is proposing starting the contract November 1st through March 31st. Weiss, December 1st, a month later, through April 1st, a day more or further. And Tovar runs 11/15 through November 15th through April 15th. When I took a look at it and I tried to equate each of them at 52 inches because I really didn't have a basis for Tovar's price was, you know, fixed at that low end of 52 inches. Abbott, if we have 10 inches of snow, is going to cost us an additional 10 inches above their 42. It's going to cost us $10,560. Weiss is at 52 inches, no additional cost at $84.52. And Tovar, in order to get them up to 52 inches, it would cost us $19,575. I am comfortable with going with Abbott as well. They might end up being slightly more expensive if we have a lot of snow, but as Dave pointed out, that hasn't been our history the 7 of the last 10 years. So I think that Abbott makes a lot of sense. One thing that in reading through the language that was presented, and I guess I became more attuned to this in some of the other contracts that we've recently looked at, there's no reference in there anywhere about them having to pay the minimum labor scales required, and I don't know whether that has applicability in this situation or not. That's, but it's true of all three.
Thank you. Trustee Barry?
I don't have the statutes right here in front of me, but I, it's a good point you brought up, but I don't believe that these contracts are covered with the prevailing wage, because we've had these contracts for each year for Tovar for a long time, other contract before this one, and that never has come up.
I don't think we did that.
I believe that there is a exception. I'd be happy to research that and send that to you, so I'd send it out to them.
That would be good to know.
Well, it does say labor rate. If they have to use a shovel, because most think they would be using their, you know, the trucks with the plows. But it says labor rate if they have to shovel and use calcium. It's $48 an hour. So in Abbott's.
Right, but if there's like a separate filing,
I can look into that too, Trustee Barry.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Roll call.
Boyer?
Yes.
Zayas?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Lucaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Jamie?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes. Okay, the COVID-19 response.
Well, we acted pretty quickly when the mask requirement came out. So patrons and staff are continuing to wear masks and social distancing, and we're closely monitoring any recommendations made by the CDC, the Illinois governor, and the DuPage County Health Department. So I don't feel that there's any action needed at this time, but I was asked to put it on the agenda every month just in case.
Okay, confirmation on finance committee meeting dates.
Yeah, so I am tentatively scheduled with Anthony, and I decided to hold it as a finance committee because if we didn't have enough trustees with a special board meeting, we wouldn't be able to hold a quorum. So right now we have 1, 2, 3, 4 people attending. Are you going to attend too, Dave?
Probably.
Okay, so 5. So I may change it to special board meeting if all 5 of you are guaranteed. And that will be an in-depth audit review on that Monday night at 7 o'clock on the 11th. And then the following Monday, the 18th, the committee of the whole meeting will have another review of the audit, hopefully a quicker version because all of our questions will have been answered the previous week.
So I guess you just answered the confirmation of committee of the whole meeting.
Yep, just setting dates.
A draft of the tax levy ordinance.
So there are 3 documents that are included in the packet tonight. It's a draft of the tax levy, a draft of the certification of compliance with the truth in taxation law, and a draft of certification of authenticity. And I'm not gonna go and read everything that I wrote, but I think it's pretty straightforward. James, our accountant, signed off on the levy, as did the attorneys. So I think we're in good shape for the tax levy documents to be approved at the October meeting.
Cash receipts and disbursements for 2020 through 2021 fiscal year.
Yes, I had James, our accountant, put this report together, and then I did have Trustee Olson proof it, and there were a few minor changes that we made, but I think that we're in good shape now with it. So this is just a draft for you to review, and it'll be ready for approval at the October meeting.
And 2022 library calendar closing dates.
So I put a tentative schedule of library closing dates for you all. And I just included the draft today, so any discussion that you want, you can have it. And then we'll make the any changes if needed, and the final will be approved at the October meeting.
Trustee Barry?
If the dates, if the feedback is really no changes, or kind of like, why don't you include these 2 items in the consent agenda?
Okay.
If there's no real reason to go into detail about it, just keep things moving along.
Okay.
Efficient.
Trustee Olson, did you have something? I thought I saw your hand.
I have several comments I'd like to make about the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm concerned that the closure on Easter does not reflect equity, diversity, and inclusion when we don't close on important religious holidays of other faiths of our patrons. Now, we have a very diverse community with other important religious holidays that are not celebrated by Christians, and I'm concerned that that's discriminatory. I also am concerned about our continuing practice to close the day of the parade. If in fact we close on July 3rd, which is a Sunday, and the parade, which as far as I know, but I'm not an expert on it, happens at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, then it will be over before our normal library hours of 12 to 5 on Sunday.
Trustee Olson, I don't believe that the date has been confirmed. I think that in the past it was held in the afternoon and it was only changed to 10 a.m. because of COVID, but I would need to verify that with somebody.
Well, I also have concerns about our closure on the eve of Memorial Day, the day before Memorial Day, the day before Labor Day, Christmas Eve, and New Year's Eve. I don't believe that we, and I may be totally mistaken on this, so please correct me. When we close on those dates, it's not a savings to the library in any sense. It's not that we don't have the people who would work those days not work another day during that period. Is that an incorrect assumption on my part?
I'm not sure I understand. Can you please repeat?
Okay. Let's say we don't work on Sunday, and because we've closed Labor Day Eve or the day before Labor Day. The people who would normally work on Sundays, they don't work less hours because of that. Am I wrong? They're scheduled a different day so that they are remain whole.
Sometimes they are.
Can you take your mask down and speak up and stand up, please?
Sometimes they are and sometimes they're not. So some employees are eligible for paid holidays, but the eves of Memorial Day and Labor Day, those do not count as paid holidays. So no full-timers or part-timers get paid for those days. If there's a need, and that's in our policy, there has to be a need somewhere else in the pay period for them to pick up the shift, but that's like any other time of year. If they have a day off and there's an opportunity to pick up a shift, they can.
But it's their choice.
Yes. No, a lot of employees just don't make up the hours. But technically, I just want to be honest, technically they could, like they would with any other day off, pick up a shift somewhere else if there was an open shift. But if there's no guarantee that you're going to make up those hours. So technically the library does have cost savings.
Thank you. I mean, this is a discussion at this point. It's not until next month that we'll be acting on it, but I wanted to bring up those points. Thank you.
So then do I put it in the consent agenda or are we going to have it on as an action item?
Probably an action item.
Yeah.
Just so we have further discussion on it.
Okay.
Is there any other discussion on this? Okay. 2022 Library Board meeting dates?
We're just, I'm recommending that we stick with the third Monday of the month at 7 p.m. I didn't know if anybody wanted to entertain starting the meetings earlier, if 7 o'clock works for everybody. I know that we do have some people that do work during the day. It's hard to get here before that, so I think we're okay with that.
I think 7 o'clock's good, because if we have to come up with a special meeting or committee of the whole, then we do have that flexibility.
Okay. All right.
Schultz, Inc.
I'm going to turn this over to Trustee Olson, because he had asked to put this on the agenda as a discussion item.
I asked to put this on the agenda because when I was reviewing checks in late August, I think it was late August, I noticed that we were paying for Tammytown program, and when I looked at the invoice, you know, I saw the name Schultz, and it didn't immediately connect for me. But I realized that this is somebody who is directly connected to the library through the fact that they are the president of our foundation. I think that's potential conflict, particularly when you look back and see that the library board 2 years ago directly inserted themselves into a process of who was in fact members of the foundation. Which would suggest to me a closer tie than we probably should be having. I am also concerned because I think there's some inconsistency in the way that we're applying, looking at relationships and making decisions based on relationships. I personally see this as a conflict, and I, about a month ago, made an offer to give a gift to the library that would be used in a drawing for employees here, and it was turned down, and I was led to believe that the reason that it was turned down was that it was considered to be a conflict. This was an opportunity I tried to extend to the library for a couple of the staff members to be able to win a drawing and participate in a video conference with a major league White Sox player. So I see some real inconsistencies, and I think we need to clarify exactly what we're doing and make sure that it occurs in the same fashion in all cases.
Trustee Gary?
Yes, I'd like to speak. I've been on the member of the foundation since about 2014. It has been the practice of the foundation to have one trustee on the one library trustee also as a foundation member. And at that time, Ms. Schultz was president of the foundation, and I'm talking to her that she's provided the service of this Tammytown is something that she doesn't provide only to the Bartlett Library, she does to other communities around here So children would have a, well, first of all, when they see a police officer, they wouldn't be afraid of them. And also provide information on, if you're in a situation, what do I do? Because kids have these things. I recall an incident, a person that lived across the street, she fell and her child ran across the street to my next door neighbor, who was a good friend, and they were able to get the ambulance there in a timely fashion. Children, if they don't know what to do, they freeze up. So having the Schultz provide this service to our community, I think is the very thing. Now, I don't see a conflict, because the foundation and the Friends, they're separate legal entities with separate boards, and they direct their own funds. They collect their own funds, and they expend them for the purpose of the library. The library might come to them, I know they come to the foundation, they say, we need X amount of dollars for this use or for that use or this. And I know the foundation, there's some money that was sent in a bequest for health reasons by one of the former directors of the library. And that goes to add to the services that we provide to them. But we don't direct the foundation to do anything. We could ask them to do things. We could ask them for this amount of money or that amount for this. And they have the right to approve or disprove it. And they've done that in the past. I don't see a conflict. And I spent a career avoiding conflicts. And this is one of the things I like about Bartlett. It's relatively, although it's 40,000 some people now, it's still a small community. And you do see the same people and wearing different hats at different events. But I think that's one of the strengths of this community. And I would hate to lose that small town feel. Thank you.
Trustee Bucar?
I agree. I don't think it's a conflict of interest. Sergeant Schultz is a well-respected member of their community, and the opportunity for the library to bring this program to the children and their families is wonderful. I know she was involved with the DARE program when my kids were in grade school. So for them to have someone who's so familiar to them talked about the safety, it's going to really click with them. So I think that was a very valuable thing for us to do. So I don't think it's a conflict.
Trustee Sinus?
I've brought my children to Tammytown in that presentation in the past. It is clearly, by any measure, a good service, a good presentation for children to see and understand. I would hate for the library to come out as against children and police community relations. I know I don't want that to be part of something that the library is a part of. It is not a conflict of interest, in my opinion. It's a very good service. It's one we should be embracing, much far from pushing back against.
And I would just like to add one thing. I think that the situation with Tammytown and Sergeant Schultz is completely separate from the situation where you had asked to do a raffle. If any other trustee had asked us the same thing, I would have turned them down, because I think, A, it could show favoritism if maybe somehow the raffle was misconceived as rigged, or maybe, you know, I just, if any trustee had asked me that, I would have said the same thing. And I think it's completely separate from Tammy Schultz. I think that's a different type of situation.
Trustee Olson.
I don't know the history of this, but I'm really curious in terms of, because Peg Beccaro made the point of the relationship between the police and the community. I understand that one time this was something that was done by our police department, fostering relationships with children and that sort of education. Does anybody know how that our village got away from providing that type of service?
I do not know, but I don't think that's a discussion that we should have.
Yeah. No, I do know it's always been Tammytown, and she has always gone around with schools, libraries, any public place. She's been at the Park District before, and she's done that the whole time that she's had this, which is well over 20 years.
I believe the police department is still carrying out, reach out to children, National Night Out, and the block parties that go on during that period of time is just one aspect. I received tweets from the police department and the village about, and there's different programs that come up during the year where they're reaching out to children. They're not relying on Sergeant Schultz to take up the slack.
Yeah. Having sat on this board, what is it, for 10 years now, this has never come up before. It's never been an issue because the foundation is considered separate from the library. We're not in charge of their finances. Our board members are not elected to that board. They're separate, just like the Friends. So it would be the same exact thing saying no one from the Friends can host something here, or no one from the Park District can host something here, because we have some sort of relationship with them. In my opinion, it's not a conflict of interest because they're not elected to that. It's a voluntary board. And like Trustee Barry said, we can always make the request, but they don't have to say yes. They can always say no. It's how they want to disperse their money. as far as what Director Nance said with the donation, I agree with that. It's because you're an elected official with this library. I would expect any of us to not be able to do that, because that is a clear conflict of interest of us sitting on a board that we're managing and responsible for and giving gifts to the entity that we're representing. But if we need to, we can look into it to actually see if it's a conflict of interest, but I don't see any need to do it. It's never been an issue, and I don't see an issue. I don't know if everybody agrees with that. Trustee Danny.
When Ray and I moved here with our kids, it was way back when the whole population of Bartlett was 5,000. And at that point in time, we were involved in every single organization known to man in the village. Okay, there were the JCs, there was this, there was that. We were involved in everything. And the village has now grown to 42,000. And my husband and I are still involved in everything, because it's all volunteer. It's everybody that has the desire to keep the village viable, to make people understand that, you know, come and join us, be a part of this, you know. And all of us here, whether it's the 4th of July or Labor Day stuff or Oktoberfest, we used to have an Oktoberfest. Still, 40,000 people, and if you can't get them involved, at least there's 20 of us that are kicking ourselves in, but still trying to enamor the people, to make them want to be a part of our village. So you start nitpicking on, oh, this person is doing this, and they're doing that, and they're doing that. That's got to be a conflict. That's just so very wrong. It's not a conflict. It's somebody that, out of a true desire to want to do something for not only their fellow man, but for the whole village, I think that we need to stop criticizing or finding fault with people that want to give of their time. I mean, I sat in a coffin in the haunted house for years. And, you know, I mean, it's stuff that you want to do because you just want to make the village a better place. So I think that maybe, Joe, if you're not involved in all the different organizations, maybe you don't get the lust or the love that we all have for doing the crazy things that we do. But I don't think that we should find fault with people wanting to do more. I think it's a great thing.
Thank you, Trustee Dean. All right, we're going to move on. Trustee Forum Board Meeting, August 21st, 2021.
Yes, I'm going to turn that over to Trustee Olson and Trustee Boyer, since they were in attendance, and they can give a quick recap.
So Percy Harris, who is the forum president, is stepping down, unfortunately. He has, career life, and he didn't feel like he had the time, but seemed like a really cool guy. There's also during ILA, the session that the forum is presenting is titled "You're Muted, a Mock Potentially Remote Board Meeting of the Kleintown Public Library," and that's going to be presented October 14th from 11:30 to 12:30. Those are my highlights.
I think the group is a very worthwhile group because it does, in fact, have a lot of influence, not only on the trustee forum day or the trustee day at the ILA fall conference, but it also is responsible for setting the spring trustee workshops. The group has currently seven people that are active members, and they are chartered for a total of 15. They're currently trying to get interested parties from downstate to participate. I believe they have one person from mid-state, and that's it, which makes it difficult for the organization to be truly representative of all of the libraries that are ILA members throughout the state. You would think that having gone to virtual meetings as they did for a year and a half, that they would have been able to attract more people, and they're still trying to do that. But they currently have three out of the seven current board members who have expiring terms this year. And so they are still actively looking for people who are regular attenders at the ILA full conference, not just trustee day, but also the trustee workshops. And I, quite frankly, am hopeful that I might become part of that group. I had been offered an opportunity when Linda Schmidt was part of that group, but they were in the process of adapting new organization bylaws that limited it to one participant per library, and so I declined at that time. I think there are a lot of things that can be done, and I'm hopeful that this organization will continue to move forward and expand on what their offerings are. I think that kind of got settled into a mundane routine, in that they have repetitive events at many of these annual meetings. And for incoming trustees, if they attend that day, I think that's great. But for those who have been to a number of them, I think that's somewhat problematic. I'm looking forward to what they are doing.
Their next meeting is November 20th. It's going to be a Zoom meeting at the Brookfield Public Library. I am going to see about the possibility, regardless of whether I'm part of that group or not, of attending, because I'd love to see the new Brookfield Public Library. They just opened this last summer, a brand new library that they had built. And one of the members of this group actually has been on their board for 30-plus years, and she talks about this is the last library that she's going to be involved in building because she's been involved in three now. So, thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Looks like director's report, which is informational only. You guys have all read through that, so if there's no any questions on that, we'll move forward. Okay. New business? Nope. Okay, town hall. And the last thing?
I will make a motion to adjourn.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. We are adjourning at 7:47. Thanks, guys.
Have a good month, everyone.
Have fun on vacation.
Thank you.
Where are you headed? Where are you going?